Welcome to Statscast on Monday, April the 19th, 2021. It is 12:19, and Rinnie and I are walking out into a warm day and a sunny day. A little bit of cloud around, but very pleasant. And time is drawing near. And Rudy and I won't be able to do this walk anymore. We won't have any more weekend walks, that's for sure, because we're leaving next weekend. Hello, a couple of blackbirds are cheering us on our way round. Anyway, thank you for joining us. And, well, we'll take you on a nice pleasant walk down to the beach and back. So off we go, and I'm wearing shorts, which is a sign of the changing weather, although I do think perhaps that was a little ambitious, as I'm feeling slightly chilly. It's not that warm, but it's quiet. It's funny, usually I come out on a Monday walk much earlier in the day. But as it's later, what I do notice is that the roar of the I-95 is not present. Which is a good thing. As far as I'm concerned. So, it's quite busy. From a nature perspective at the moment, we've got a lot of birds set up their nests, and they're busy in the process of starting the next generation. Doesn't matter whether they're large or small, black or white, waterfowl or other, they're all pretty much doing the same thing. By now, a lot of them have finished their nest, and they'll be laying some eggs, they'll be incubating them, and then hatching them, feeding them, and bringing them up. And depending on the size and species will determine how long those chicks stay in the nest and stay with their parents. In the case of the larger birds, like the eagles and the ospreys, that could be 4 or 5 years. And they'll go from the juvenile, usually grey-brown, fluffy feathers through the phases until they are finally granted the privilege of the adult plumage. Rony, there are a couple of dogs ahead of us, both black. Looks like they're on leashes, so maybe we need to put you on a leash too. Probably not. Well, I think we may have seen one of them yesterday. It's a brindle, not black. No, they are all labs. Oh! Certainly a black dog convention now, isn't it?
It's a black lab convention over here.
Come on, Runes. Come on, Rooney. This way.
Did I stumble into a black lab convention or something?
Looks like you did. Runes.
Ooh.
My one's very friendly. He'll just hang around and wag his tail a bit. Oh, come on, Root. I'll let you go on ahead, and then you can have your privacy, and I'll hold Rooney back a sec.
You want to get some distance, maybe you should take a longer route.
Oh, you want me to? I don't mind which way. I'll let you go on ahead. Come on, Runes. Leave him be. Leave him be. Okay, Runes. Runesy. Yeah, we'll go this way. Runes. Rather an enthusiastic dog handler. We'll just let them go a little bit ahead of us, Runes. That way we can have our privacy too. So yeah, it's that season. It's that season, and the funny thing is, we'll be creating a new nest as well, Runes. Yes. Maybe we will in just a few days' time. So this will be the very last Monday that we will be taking this walk. Very last Monday that we'll be living in the United States. Runes, I'm going to go this way. We've had a lot of farewells. We had a big one yesterday at the Pincuses. That became very lively towards the end. Bit of dancing, bit of acting the fool on behalf of your co-host here. Runes, you wouldn't have been impressed. He just looked round at me as if to say, no, I wouldn't. But we'll get on to that in a minute. But first of all, this is a good area for, you know, bird watching. So we'll see what we can watch. Oh, actually, it's quite warm now. Now that there's no wind on me. Very peaceful. Well, perhaps the wind's blowing, even though there is very little wind, perhaps what wind there is blowing the noise away from the 95 and away from us rather than towards us. So, now, can you hear? Excuse me, Runes. Yeah, lots of blossoms now appearing on these trees. Did you hear that? It's a robin, I think. So many birds. There he is. Oh no, it's a little sparrow of some sort. Yeah, making a good song, aren't you? Can't quite see him. Oh gosh, I can't see him because he's not that far away, but he's outlined against another tree, so I can't really see what his markings are. But he's some sort of small bird. He goes peep, peep, peep. And then three peeps and then a kind of a trill. Oh, I can hear a chainsaw or something. Oh, very cute. So I don't know how many more times we'll be podcasting from the USA. Maybe once or twice more. So, let's make the most of it. Runes, let's see what we can share. Now I'm looking straight ahead down the path to the new nest of the new osprey family. But there's nobody in it, I don't think. So that probably means they haven't laid their eggs yet. Unless unless one of them is standing close by on watch. Sometimes they do that. They'll stand in a neighbouring tree and just keep an eye on things. I don't see anybody yet, but I didn't mean to say I won't. Yeah, the nest does not look occupied right now. Well, I can only think that that means they're both out hunting and they have not yet laid eggs. Because, cruel as it may sound, birds tend to maraud the nests of other birds and, eat their eggs, and sometimes they even lay their eggs in other birds' nests in the case of cuckoos and others. Not just cuckoos. Now I'm looking for an osprey on watch, but I don't see one. It's funny, they seem to all go out at the same time. Now there's the chappie with his black lab. Looks like we're catching up with him. He's having difficulty. Oh, now I can hear an osprey. I don't see one. Heard the telltale cheep. Well, not really a cheep, more of a kind of like a... more like a sort of a call. They only do one call, really, osprey. Just that sharp whistle. Let's just have a look down here. Let that chappy get on ahead. So if I heard a call, where was it coming from? The water's very low. Tide's out. Oh, I don't know where that call came from. Ah, there's a good-looking male robin standing proudly on a branch just above me. Are you going to sing for us? Nope, he just changed trees. Well, I think we're out of luck when it comes to osprey spotting. I'm just missing them. Nope. Good strong nest they've built there, though. Yeah. There's a woodpecker. Oh, he's a nice one. Red head. Now, there are four types of woodpeckers. The pileated, the hairy. Oh, where's he gone? Well, I'm pretty sure that was the hairy woodpecker. Grey wings, red mark on his head. Ah, you can hear him. There you go, can you hear him? He's knocking away at a tree. Sounded quite hollow, that, didn't it? Where have you gone? Yeah. They've become invisible, but still audible. He's somewhere in this tree, but can't see where. Well, yes, no, that's just a blackbird. Nope. Okay, move on. Move on, John. So last time I podcasted, I gave Tracy of To Kill a Mockingbird, and Christina liked that because, oh, wait a minute, that's a beautiful marking there. That is a, oh, black striped head. I'm gonna have to look him up. Black striped head. Let's look him up whilst we're walking. It's a small bird. Some sort of sparrow. Right. Start bird ID. They do this. I'm not sure it's the most effective way of finding out who you're looking at, but okay, small bird. Next. Okay, brown, white. Next, on the ground, it asks you five questions and then it gives you a selection of birds that it could be. Song sparrow? Nope. A chipping sparrow? I think that was the one we heard first. Ah, this is him, the savannah sparrow. Yeah, very distinctive. Medium-sized short-tailed sparrow. Extensive plumage, variations across range, but always streaky. Yeah, that's what got me. This is my bird. Yeah. Oh, somebody coming. We'll keep moving, Rose. Now we're caught between the guy in front and the guy behind. Yeah, I did a precy of To Kill a Mockingbird. And Christina said, that's quite good actually, you know, helpful. She just got the story. And then she said, you should do that more often, you know. And I said, really? She said, yes. She said, because there's some things I don't want to have to read, but I just want to know what they're about. So she said, like Hamlet. I said, Hamlet? She said, yes. What's Hamlet about? I said, well, you picked a complicated one there. Hamlet's probably one of the most complicated plays ever written. So she said, yeah, but what's it about? So I will attempt to give you a short rundown of what Hamlet is about, or the story of Hamlet. And wait a minute. We'll just stop 1 second. Oop. Hey, Runes. I just need to stop this. Sorry, I'll let you go ahead. I'm busy bird watching. Oh, good. He's friendly too. He just wag his tail and he does that to try and play, but no, Rooney, he doesn't understand. Rooney. Run away, Rooney. Something in the bushes there. It sounds big. So I know it's people. I was going to say, it sounds big. It sounds like a deer or something, but it's not. It's people. Yeah, there was a lady with a beautiful white husky dog. Not husky, what are they called? I'll remember it in a second. But anyway, I've let her go on ahead too. And so we just have a path to ourselves, right? There's a big stork of some sort flying overhead, but a bit too far away for me to be able to identify. But we did identify our friend, the savannah sparrow. Yeah, nice looking bird. Very, very distinctive white lines. Yeah, that's a good one. So, yeah, sorry, I was going to tell you, try and tell you, the story of Hamlet. God, that's taxing the old memory a bit. Okay, so, Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, is the son of the King and Queen of Denmark. And his father has died. And his uncle, Claudius, has married his mother. I think that used to happen in those days quite a bit. So, that's, happened to Henry VIII, isn't it? He married his brother's widow. He did. That's why, and then he decided that he thought that's the reason why God had frowned on him and cursed him with not being able to not being able to bear him a son. But I'm straying off the point. We're talking about Hamlet, not Henry VIII. So, yes. So the play opens with Hamlet. No, it's not Hamlet. It's a couple of soldiers. And there's Robin there, just saying hello to me. Hello. A couple of soldiers, and they see it. They're on the ramparts of a castle wall, and they see a ghost. And so they call somebody over, Horatio, I think it is. They call him over and they say, look, there seems to be a ghost here. And so Horatio, he says, that looks a bit like the old king. And so he goes to get Hamlet. And he says, Hamlet, look at this. That ghost there looks a lot like your father. So Hamlet, he's looking at the ghost. And he thinks, yeah, it does. Anyway, when Hamlet appears, the ghost speaks to him. And he says, I was murdered by my brother Claudius. And you must avenge my murder, Hamlet. Well, of course, this sends Hamlet into a sort of a complete spin. He thinks, what? You were murdered by my uncle? It can't be right. So, he doesn't know whether to believe it or not. So, anyway, it drives him mad, this kind of crazy task he's been set. Got to avenge his father's death. So, anyway, he does go. He either goes mad or he pretends he's going mad, one or the other. But anyway, he's not sure what to do, and he feels like perhaps this was just his imagination, or it couldn't be his imagination because he said that the other people saw it as well. But anyway, he has plenty of soliloquies and discussions with himself about what he should do. And, of course, the most famous speech in Hamlet is, the to be or not to be speech, which is really the sort of central issue around which the whole play revolves. And he's really wrestling with himself. If you remember, to be or not to be, that is the question. What he's really saying is, what kind of a person should he be? And then he goes on, if you remember the quote, it says something like, whether 'tis noble in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. In other words, is it better, even if terrible things are happening, just to suffer them in your mind and deal with it that way? Or, he says, take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them. In other words, should I be active? Should I be, assertive? Should I do something? Take arms against a sea of troubles, fight. And then he goes on, he says, this is a famous speech, I can remember it. And then he says, after he says, by opposing end them, he says something like, to die, to sleep, no more. And by a sleep, to say, we end the heartache of a thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to. 'Tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. So in other words, you just leave it alone, die, and death is really just sleep. And that's it. It's all over. But then he says, to die, to sleep. And then, of course, he says, to sleep, perchance to dream. Aye, there's the rub. That's a famous line. For in that sleep, how's it go? For in that sleep, of death, what dreams may come. When we have shuffled off this mortal coil, must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life. For who would bear the whips and stem? He's really wrestling with this whole task he's been given. And so, you know, he thinks, well, one kind of strange sighting of a ghost who tells me that my father's been murdered and, you know, I've got to avenge it. I've got to have more proof. But anyway, the task has been set, does send him completely, you know, up the wall. And so he starts to act out a bit strange. And Claudius and his mother, Gertrude, sort of notices he's acting really strange and can't work out what's wrong with him. So anyway, so they have various theories about why he's going mad. And one of them is that Polonius, who's one of the courtiers, an old man, has a daughter called Ophelia. And he says, I think what's driving him mad is he's in love with my daughter. And so Claudius says, well, that could be it. Maybe. Let's see. So Claudius decides to spy on Hamlet whilst he meets with Ophelia. And that was horrible to her. You know, he doesn't seem to be in love with her at all, what Claudius sees. You know, he says things like, get thee to a nunnery. You know, he tells her to go and become a nun. He tells her he wants to abolish marriage and all that sort of stuff. And that upsets her a lot. And so he discounts that. He says, no, it can't be the love of Ophelia that's sending him mad. Anyway, Polonius is friend of the Queen's, you know, and Claudius, and so. doggy barking. So I just get past this house. So yeah, Polonius is with the Queen. I can't remember how it comes about, but anyway, Hamlet comes in, so Polonius hides himself behind an arras, a piece of fabric, and Hamlet's talking to his mother, you know, sort of raging and crazy. And Polonius is behind this arras. But he makes a noise. Hello. He makes a noise. So Hamlet hears it. And so he whips out his sword and thrusts his sword through the fabric right into Polonius and kills him. Oh dear, disaster. So, you know, Claudius and Gertrude think, God, you know, we've got to punish him for this. So they, you know, they decide to send him to England with a couple of his friends from school, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Oh, there's a lovely blossom there. One, two, three sort of light pink blossoms. God, that's really something. Anyway, so Polonius is dead. Hamlet is going to be sent to England. And Claudius, who's obviously an evil character, you know, gives Rosencrantz and Guildenstern a sealed letter. He says, give this to the King of England. And actually, in that letter are instructions to put Hamlet to death. To the King of England, he says, please just put this guy to death. And meanwhile, Ophelia is heartbroken, not only because Hamlet appears to have rejected her, but also because her father had now been killed. So she absolutely, you know, traumatised by the whole thing. She ends up drowning herself, which is very, very sad. So, anyway, Gertrude and Claudius think to themselves, well, thank God we got rid of him. Well, Claudius thinks that. I don't think Gertrude knows that Hamlet's, you know, got an instruction to be killed by Claudius. But anyway, it doesn't happen because the ship that Hamlet is being sent over to England on gets attacked by pirates, and he escapes and makes his way back to Denmark. So he sends word to the king and queen and to his friend Horatio that he's back in Denmark because the ship got sunk and caught by pirates. So anyway, so they think, oh God, he's back. Now, in the meantime, Hamlet sees the ghost again of his father, and his father's ghost is impatient. He says, why are you delaying? Why haven't you avenged my death yet? And anyway, Hamlet comes across some players, some strolling players, some actors. So he says to them, right, what I want you to do is I want you to perform a play in front of the king and queen. And in the play, there's going to be a scene where the king's brother murders the king in the same way that the ghost told me that the king was murdered, which was pouring poison into his ear. A strange way to kill somebody, but nevertheless, that's what he says. So this happens, and Hamlet is watching intently. He's watching Claudius see what he does when that scene happens. So sure enough, Claudius gets up in a rage and storms out at that scene. Hamlet then thinks, got him, he did it. Yeah, this is enough proof for me. So he starts thinking, right, okay, I'm going to have to kill him. Meanwhile, Ophelia's brother and Polonius' son, same person, Laertes, I think he's called, comes back from wherever he's been. Oh, it's getting hot. And he's incensed by the fact that his sister and his father are dead. And from what he can make out, from what he hears, it's all Hamlet's fault. Well, certainly, Polonius is Hamlet's fault. He ran him through with a knife, with a sword. So, you know, I think it's Claudius winds up Laertes and says, okay, let's have a fencing match. Let's stage a fencing match between you and Hamlet. And here's going to be your opportunity to get your revenge. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to put poison on the end of your sword. So if you do break the skin of Hamlet, he's going to die. Okay. That's the plot. So, and he says to himself, Claudius, he says, just to make absolutely certain that this works, I'm going to put poison in a goblet as well, so that when Hamlet, you know, goes to get a drink, he drinks poison. So either way, he knows he's going to kill Hamlet. So this fencing match starts, and Laertes accidentally cuts himself with his own sword, which is rather unfortunate. And Claudius thinks, oh dear. He thinks, well, okay, well, we've still got the goblet, poison goblet for him. But Hamlet refuses to drink from the poison goblet, and inadvertently, Gertrude, his mother, takes a swig. So she dies. Laertes dies, and Hamlet is left with Claudius, and he now knows that Laertes' sword has been poisoned. So he grabs the sword and runs Claudius through with it, with the poisoned sword. So Claudius dies. Ah, but what I should say is, Hamlet does get scratched by Laertes in the fight with the poisoned sword. So he doesn't die immediately, but he also is dying. So Claudius dies, Gertrude's dead, Laertes is dead, and then Hamlet dies. Cheerful ending. And that's pretty much it, really. I mean, it kind of ends with some soldier, Fortinbras, I think he's called, comes back from his soldiering, walks into the chamber of the king and queen, and is astounded to see, you know, everybody dead. Such a slaughter. The whole royal family dead. So, you know, he's shocked. That is it. So that is Hamlet for you, in a Prosy nutshell. And you say, well, okay, what's so great about it? What's so great about Hamlet? I think what's so great about Hamlet is all the quotes. I mean, the play's pretty good, if you like that kind of thing, but it's not for everybody. And there are so many quotes in Hamlet, you probably don't even realise when you think about them, are actually from Hamlet. You know, I can think of so many. God, neither a borrower nor a lender be, that's Hamlet. To thine own self be true, that's Hamlet. Do you remember that one? Oh, God. Something is rotten in the state of Denmark, that's a well-known one. Oh. One may smile and smile and be a villain. Yeah. Or brevity is the soul of wit. I can't just remember the others, but there are a lot. And to be or not to be, that's the most famous, probably. The lady doth protest too much, methinks. Yeah, these are all famous quotes. I must be cruel to be kind. Yeah, we all know that one. Anyway, that's Hamlet for you. It's a complicated play that you've really got to sort of put time aside for that one, and you know, don't have any distractions. Just put your feet up and read it intently if you like Shakespeare. If not, just listen to my Prosy and you got it. So, oh, can you hear that? That's a reversing truck. We've managed all the way through the bird walk area without my feet getting too wet, because it hasn't rained for a couple of days and the tide is low, so dry underfoot. Runes, this is the area where you're going to have to go back on the leash, I'm afraid. He's marching up the road, but he knows the drill. He knows that when we get to the road, it's leash time. Isn't it, Runes? Here we are. Good boy. Hey. Wait. Gotcha. So, last night, well, no, it wasn't last night, it was lunchtime, actually. What a load of fun we had. It was the Pincuses, the Burns, and the Roses. The guy I sold my Rolls Royce to, who didn't mention the Rolls Royce, really, because I know that he's taken it to a Rolls Royce dealer who said it needs $30,000 worth of repairs, which is not true. Those guys are absolute sharks. And they'll rip you off. They tried it on with me as well once. I took it to the same dealers. They told me it needed... Nope. Sorry, let's get past this car. They told me it needed $50,000 worth of repairs. I took it to Vautrin's Autos, and my own mechanic who serviced all my other cars, and he said, "Oh, absolute lies. It doesn't need $50,000 worth of repairs. It needs $900." He fixed it up and got everything. Well, it was working, but he fixed everything that needed doing. $900, and he looked after it for the 11 years that I had it here. You know, having no problems. And so he was pretty upset because Ron had called him and told him that that the Rolls-Royce dealer had said that it needs $30,000 worth of repairs, and he said, "Well, just bring it here because it doesn't." So I don't know how that's going to resolve itself. Whoop, here comes a big truck. Yeah, I don't know how that's going to play out, but anyway, he didn't mention it, so I didn't bring it up because I don't want to have to get into all that. I already said to him, you know, don't take it to the Rolls-Royce dealer because they'll give you some horrendous quote, but he did. So, caveat emptor is the phrase that springs to mind. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, we were having a farewell like barbecue. And actually, Suzanne had asked me to make some ribs for a sort of starter, and then they were going to, well, they did, barbecue some chicken, which was all good. But it took a while, I have to say. And Sunday lunch, you know, especially, it was a nice day. We were outside sitting, you know, in the sun. And it was one of these, it's Monday, so there's a garbage truck. I'm just going to have to get past that. Tell you what, I'll pause so you don't have to listen to that truck engine whirring away. Hang on. How do I do that? Well, this is the first time that we've walked down to the beach but not gone on to the beach, because it is quite a warm day. And I suspect there might be people on the beach. And you're not allowed dogs on the beach, Rooney. Not after the 1st of April and right up until the 1st of October. So it's just as well that we're leaving, isn't it? Hey. Poor old Bruins. Taken away your play park, haven't they? Anyway, so I was telling you about that Sunday. So I made ribs, and I make ribs in a rather special way because I like ribs. And Suzanne said to me, "Can you bring some of your ribs?" I thought, "Yeah, all right." So the way I make them, I'll let you into a little secret. This is, you know, the way to make perfect ribs. Baby back ribs, okay? First of all, you buy baby back ribs. That's not absolutely essential, to be honest. Any rib will do, but baby back are the best. The reason I say that is because you're going to cook them for an awful long time. All meat goes tender if you cook it for a long time. But if you can get baby back ribs, do. Because they're really good. Okay. Yeah, right, so you get your ribs, then if you can, this certainly helps. There is a membrane on the underside of the ribs. You'll see it, the side where the meat isn't, you know, the bone side. And you'll see a thin, almost translucent membrane that you should remove if you can do that. So get your, you know, nails under it and just separate it from the bone, and it'll come away. It's like sellotape, really. It's strange stuff, but it's stuck. But if you get enough of it, and it's sometimes difficult because it's greasy and you get wet, and that means it's hard to get a grip of it, but pull that membrane off. Try and get it off in one piece. It will. And the reason for that is because that membrane is chewy. Difficult to digest. It's not a nice material to have in your in your ribs. Now that will set your ribs apart from other people's ribs for a start, because most people don't do that. It makes the whole thing very, very edible. Okay, next thing you do is you put whatever rub you want onto the ribs. You know, any rub will do. Sprinkle it generously all over the ribs and pat it down so it really sticks onto the meat, both sides, the bone side and the meat side, because you want, a lot of people will sort of suck the bones and you want the whole thing to taste good. Then you wrap the whole thing in foil, so it's in a completely enclosed in a foil pouch, if you like, but completely enclosed. Preheat your oven to only 275, that's all you need. And I'm talking Fahrenheit here, not Celsius. So I don't know what that is in Celsius, but it's low. Look it up if you're using Celsius. But 275 Fahrenheit. And you're going to cook it for 4 hours. So that's a low heat, but it will cook, I promise you. But after 2 hours, take the ribs out carefully, because a lot of fat will have come out of the meat and gone into the tray. I should have said, you've got to put the whole thing in a baking tray. If that wasn't obvious, then do. Make sure the whole thing's in a baking tray, because that tray is going to collect all the oil. Because obviously pork is quite a greasy meat. You don't want grease. So remove the whole thing on the baking tray and just pour off all that excess oil and fat and whatever. Pour it all off so that what you're going to get is a nice dry, juicy but dry finish, not wet and greasy. Now, the next thing is, after, let's say 3.5, you don't have to be exact on these timings of such a low temperature, but after 3.5 hours, take it out of the oven again, open up the pouch, and discard the extra foil, but leave the foil underneath the ribs, and put whatever a barbecue type sauce you like, spread up, painted on with a basting brush over the whole meat, and turn the oven up to 400, or put the grill on, whichever you prefer, because what you're going to do is just crisp off. Yeah, that was Christina just calling to tell me that one, Nikki and Glenn Wisher, are going to lend us their car on Friday, which is very, very nice of them, because we won't have a car on Friday, because our second car is being loaded up for shipping on Thursday. So that's great. But she also said that she's getting rather sad, because she's saying her goodbyes to all her clients, and they're all really genuinely sorry that she's leaving and giving her presents and all that kind of thing. It's difficult when you've lived here 20 years of your life and you're moving on. I think it's much worse for Christina, though, because she's got all these personal clients who are really friends, and so she's saying goodbye to them for the last time. Anyway, it has to be done. This particular chapter of our book of life is over, almost. You can't keep replaying the same chapter. You've got to move on and another chapter. This is what I said to her, which is what we'll do. But I'm not sure, because I'm going to have to edit that last piece, because I didn't have the microphone plugged in. But I think I was telling you that it was lovely to have our son Harry at the party last night, or yesterday. He took us home, and oh gosh, I'm going to miss him so much. I'm going to miss Tommy so much. Maya we won't miss so much, because she's going to be nearer to us, and she's going to be spending her vacations with us and everything. But hey, and Tommy, well, I don't know. Tommy is still on his voyage, not voyage, odyssey, the car journey, driving 3,000 miles to Portland, Maine. Sorry, Portland, Oregon. I don't think he's going to be there yet. Ah, now, we're back on the path. Oh, sorry, Runes, I could take you off your leash here. You're a little bit discombobulated. There, you can go. Back on the path. And yeah, I do see ospreys now. We'll go calling on them all the way past. Say hi. Got it hot now. Yeah. So we were doing a little bit of the silly stuff towards the end of the Pinky's party, which is all good fun. I think we got everybody up dancing, really. I think even Rob was up for a while. It really was like a scene out of, God, I forgot, what's that comedy? They all get drunk and end up dancing on the sofas and that sort of stuff. It was a bit like that. But we had to live it up because we had to give everybody a fun time for our final party. Well, it's not actually our final party. We've got more this week. And I think, you know, I don't think I'm supposed to know this, but I think on Thursday evening, was it Wednesday evening? Yeah, Wednesday evening. I think they've planned a surprise party for us on the beach, which is very, very kind and somewhat unnecessary, because people will say, are these people ever going to go? Because we'll have had too many parties by then. Ah, hello. Here comes Squeaky. Hello. It's one of the ospreys. I think it's the female from the nest. We're just about to approach. Ah, and there's the male. They're flying together. Yeah, he's quite a lot bigger actually than the female. Where's their nest? We'll get up to it in a minute and we'll see. Oh, no, that's just confusing because there's a third one. Or is that her? No, oh yeah, there are three. There are definitely three. Oh, one of them's got something in its talons. Probably a fish. Yeah. They've been out hunting, and the hunt has been productive. They have got something. Well, one of them has. They don't seem to share it. They seem to sort of take their catch away from the nest and eat it alone. Of course, that won't happen when they've got chicks in the nest, or a chick. They'll be feeding. Gosh, they're very active. But they see there are two nests in fairly close proximity, within about a quarter of a mile of each other. So I think I'm seeing three, because one of them does not belong this nest. I think he's just kind of checking out while she's calling. Yeah, I'm going to walk up to her nest and see if I can spot what she's caught. You can hear her squeaking. They just do that one single squeak. No calls or anything like that. No song. Yeah. Right. Yeah, she's kind of flapping. They're not the most elegant of flyers, the ospreys. They've got this sort of elbow or M shape that they fly in, and they flap this sort of the last third of their wings. Now, we're not going to go any further, Roo. They're flying off. I can see all three. All three at three different altitudes. Yeah, it's a very piercing sound, isn't it? Come on, Rude. very piercing noise. You hear that echoing sometimes. Yeah, so lots of farewells. We've got another farewell tonight, actually, with the Bonners. But we're just going to meet for a drink in a pub. And then hopefully Ty and Harry will come over for dinner. Tuesday, oh God, I don't know what we're doing Tuesday. Wednesday, I think we've got this thing on the beach. Thursday. We're just staying at home on Thursday, and then Friday is our last day. Staying at the Wishes on the Friday. There's a cardinal. Can you hear him? There's a male. I like their song. It's almost liquid, isn't it? Almost sounds like liquid dropping into a vat. So, we're coming towards the end now. So, hello.
Hi, Sarah.
Oh, hi. He's very friendly. Loves to say hello. Hello. Oh, he's very young, isn't he?
Yeah, 5.5 months.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
Thank you. Good job, Tucker.
Hello. Hello. You want to say hello? Yes, yes. All right. Yes,
hey,
yes.
No.
It's all right.
No.
Not supposed to jump up. All right, Rooney.
Oh, you want one too?
Yes, sure. If you've got one for him, Rooney, that way, Rooney.
Over here. Leave him alone. Okay, this is where you set up new boundaries,
Tucker. He's just learning, isn't he?
He is.
He's very sweet.
Okay.
Yeah, you too. Come on, Runes. Rooney, come on. Two very noisy geese coming into land. Oh gosh, the osprey's right above me now. All action. Didn't get your treat there, did you, Runes? You weren't listening. Right. Well, I think we will move into the close now, Runes. Don't you? He thinks so too. Well, this is all rather kind of, I don't know, significant or signifying the final days of our life in America. I suppose it's good to be chronicling it, really. And, you know, we can look back on this and remember what it was like. Just in case I get brain addled, Runes. Highly likely. He's got his final visit to the vet tomorrow. Yes. He seemed to quite enjoy his last visit, even though he got vaccinated and injected with a microchip. Didn't seem to bother him. So don't drink that water, Runes. No, it's not good. I'm not letting him drink this water because it's runoff from the landfill site. That cannot be good. I know you're thirsty, but we're almost home. So, yeah, final thoughts. The European Super League soccer. Wow, that's raised a few hackles. Goodness me, I think I saw Gary Neville waxing lyrical about how terrible that would be and can't even get relegated. What's the point? It's cynical, self-serving. I mean, I don't know. I mean, everybody likes the European games. I don't think that's going to be allowed to happen. I noticed that the FIFA have said that any player who plays in that will be banned from playing in the World Cup and the European FIFA Championships. So it's like, whoa, wow, wow, gosh. Well, I guess it might reduce the impact of the Premier League. I think that's probably what a lot of it, the complaining's about. And countries' national, you know, leagues. But, you know, you've got to keep an open mind. This thing about not being able to get relegated, I don't know. I mean, if you think about the Six Nations, you can't get relegated out of that either. That's rugby. But, you know, it's always the same Six Nations and somebody wins and somebody comes bottom. But, you know, relegation as the kind of like the thing to avoid, does that really matter? I'm not sure. Certainly I don't like it when Burnley gets relegated and they're only one position away from relegation right now. So they better pull their fingers out for the last, what is it, five or six games. Matches left. Lost badly to Man United yesterday. 3-1, I think. Anyway, we won't go on about soccer because not everyone likes soccer. But just a thought. It'd be interesting to know what everybody does think about this Super League, but I don't think it's going to happen. So I'm walking past the other osprey's nest, which is actually built on a human-made platform provided for them. But the other one, they seem to have found their own preferred spot to build a nest. Good for them. There really are quite a few ospreys now. I think they've had a, you know, real resurgence after the, you know, I think the effort was really made to sort of try and encourage them to breed a few years ago, and it's worked. Good looking birds. Anyway, Runes, I think it's time to wrap it up, don't you? He does. Okay, well, thank you for listening, and we'll have one or two more, perhaps, podcasts before we leave.